The battle belongs to the Lord. We need to understand that. And prayer is really showing that we are worthless creatures. We are helpless. Why do we pray to God? Because we are helpless. We need help from God. So the battle belongs to the Lord. So God is the one who is in control. Let me ask. I'm going to ask at the end of this session, I'll be asking you questions, what you have learned. Okay? And one of the things I want to ask now is, what is praying in the Spirit? The topic that I want to give you today is praying in the Spirit, and next week I want to go on with a continuation on that intercessory prayer, because it says here, praying in the Spirit, verse 18, then also it says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. That is intercessory prayer. But before we get into that, what is praying in the Spirit? What do you mean by praying in the Spirit? Do you know what is praying in the Spirit is? Have you prayed in the Spirit? Yes? No? I don't know. I never learned that subject. It's the first time I'm hearing. And what is praying in the Spirit? Looks like because people here with a lot of blank minds. Okay, if you listen carefully, we will learn something, what is praying in the Spirit. Every Christian, let me tell you, every Christian who is praying had to pray in the Spirit. Okay, and if you're not praying in the Spirit, the other option is, there's only one other option, you're praying in the flesh. Okay, so every Christian who is praying had to pray in the Spirit. What do you mean by praying in the Spirit? Does it mean that you are, a lot of people think, well, I pray in the Spirit because I speak in tongues. Is that praying the Spirit, speaking in tongues?
No.
Absolutely not. You don't have to speak in tongues to pray in the Spirit. So we are going to see through the Lord's word the clear meaning of what is praying in the Spirit. I want to make it so clearly so that you will understand, if you listen carefully, you will understand what is the meaning of what is to pray in the Spirit. So we need to pray that the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, will give us the understanding for our souls today. First, we are all to pray in the Spirit. Because Apostle Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit. You don't pray sometimes in the Spirit, sometimes in the flesh. There is nothing like that. Praying at all times in the Spirit. So whenever you pray, you are praying in the Spirit. Alright? There are no high moments and low moments or anything like that. Say, oh, it was a low moment that I prayed, so I didn't pray in the Spirit. A high moment, that time I prayed in the Spirit. There's nothing like that. You will understand when I speak here. And what is to pray in the Spirit? As I said, it does not mean to pray in the flesh. But the opposite of the flesh is what? The Spirit. To whom do we pray? To God we pray. How do we approach a holy God? In the flesh? No. In the Spirit we approach a holy God. Why? Because God is Spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is Spirit. And to those who worship Him, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You understand now? So, God is Spirit. So, praying, that is, whenever we worship God, that is, through worship, through prayer, through reading His Word, or whatever we do, or serving Him, everything what we do, we have to approach Him in the Spirit, because God is Spirit. So we have to worshipping in spirit and in truth. Now, are you understanding a little bit what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is the one that helps our souls to pray in the spirit to God, which means we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. If you're a true Christian, Holy Spirit dwells in you. Right? The Spirit of God lives in you. You know the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19, right? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who, you know, and you are not your own? The Spirit of God dwells in you. So, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And Romans chapter 8:9 says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. So here we see every Christian, a true Christian, the Spirit of God dwells in us. Alright? And the Spirit of God is in us. And God is Spirit. We pray to God in the Spirit because God is Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're praying in the flesh. You will see that. Now, separate the man from the Spirit, what do you get? If you separate the man from the Spirit, what do you have? You have an unspiritual man. You have a man who is spiritually dead. Spiritual, but can spiritually dead people pray? Of course they pray all the time. But they don't pray in the Spirit, they pray in the flesh. Now, when the man who is dead in the Spirit, when that person prays, are they really, of course they are not praying in the Spirit, but they are praying in the flesh, so we will see that they are worshipping God, they are praying to God with their lips, but their hearts are far away from God. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, how Jesus said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's an unspiritual man. That's a man who doesn't have the Spirit of God. That's a man who is spiritually dead, but they too pray. What is prayer, really speaking? What is prayer? Prayer is pouring out your soul to God. That is prayer. Pouring out your soul to God. You cannot pour out your soul to God if not for the Holy Spirit that is in you. That helps us to pour out our souls to God. Unspiritual man cannot pour out his soul to God. There are two things on this sermon I want you to listen. There are two things to understand when it comes to praying the Spirit. Number one is we need to have a knowledge and understanding. Okay? Knowledge and understanding. Number two is fervent spirit with love and affection. I'm going to put that all together. What is knowledge and understanding? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. Apostle Paul said, we turn it to 1 Corinthians 14, 15. And this is what he said. Apostle Paul said, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. That is knowledge and understanding. I will pray with my spirit, and also I will pray with understanding. That understanding has to do with knowledge. All right? We see God in the Old Testament, how, I don't have time to go through these examples, but I'm just want to let you know how God in the Old Testament rejected blind sacrifices. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," in the book of Hosea. How Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, when the Samaritan woman said, "We know how to worship God," what Jesus said was, John chapter 4 verse 22, the Samaritan woman, "You worship what you do not know. You think that you know how to worship, but you don't know how to worship God," Jesus basically told the Samaritan woman. "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know." There you go. That means you need to have a knowledge. Knowledge is essential. It's not just praying without any blindly here. We have a knowledgeable God, powerful God, and we know who He is. Then Jesus said, "For our salvation is from the Jews," basically showing that we are praying to the right God here. A lot of people pray to different gods. The gospel worship is a spiritual worship. It needs to be done in the spirit with knowledge because God is holy. Remember Romans chapter 12 verse 1? How Apostle Paul said, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Okay? So, it has to be done in knowledge, and Paul goes on to explain how to worship God as the living sacrifice, which is your whole spiritual worship, that our bodies are behavior. Now, I'm going to explain how a lot of people are praying to, they think they are praying to the right God, but they are not praying in the knowledge. Because a lot of people are praying to dead saints. Saints who are dead. A lot of people are praying to angels. The Bible prohibits for any Christian to pray for an angel. Well, how do we know that? Because we have the knowledge in the Word of God. That's why knowledge is very important. Alright? And also, because these people who are doing that, they don't have knowledge in the Word of God. So they're doing it blindly. That's what happened to the Israelites. A lot of Israelites, they brought this blind sacrifices that God rejected flatly. So they are praying not in the spirit but in the flesh. Even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So we do it in the knowledge because we are not like other babblers. Empty words. The knowledge of God, what does the knowledge of God does to us? What's the first thing that happened to you when you knew who God is? Through the Word of God, what's the first thing that happened to you? The first thing that happened to you is the Lord exposed your sins. Showed that you are a sinner in the light of a holy God. That's the first thing that happens. Before, we lived as the children of the devil. And we did not have a clear knowledge of who God is. And before, we were never convicted of our sins. Absolutely not. We were not convicted. Before, when we got to know the real God of the Bible, God, we found out God is holy, infinitely holy, and we found that He is a living God, and we found that He hates sin. And our prayer life changed after that. Right? There has to be a change in the prayer life. And remember what Job, how Job and his companions thought how God was. And, you know, and you can see what Job said. At the very end, God appeared to Job. When God appeared to Job, he saw that God showed all his knowledge to Job. Then Job, let's read from chapter 42, from verse 1. Job 42, Job chapter 42, read from verse 1 to 6. And he says here, I know that you can do all things. No, then Job, verse 1 says, then Job answered, and the Lord answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Verse 3 says, who is this that hides counsel without what? Knowledge. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. We were like that before, right? Then what happened? Verse 4. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Then verse 5. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Once we know who the true God is, that's why, once we know who the true God is, once we know who the Almighty, our powerful God is, when we got to know Him through the Word of God, first thing is our sins were exposed and we repent in dust and ashes. So, that's the part that I want to show you, that we need to have a knowledge who we are going to pray. Alright? And the knowledge how to pray, whom we are going to pray, we need to pray in whose name? In Jesus' name. Because we can never approach God in our own self. Always through the mediator. Okay? It's not through a priest. Not through angels, not through the saints, dead saints, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have a knowledge. Because the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man. And that is Jesus Christ. Knowledge. There's only one high priest. The living high priest. In the book of Hebrews talked about the high priest. Who is the high priest? Our high priest. He's not the Pope. He's not a priest. He's not a pastor. The high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we always pray in Jesus' name. We come to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we come in His good works, what He has done on the cross. In His blood that He has shed for us. In Christ's works, we come to the throne of God. In Christ's righteousness, we come to the throne of God. Alright? Knowledge is very important. Now, the next one I want to explain is praying the Spirit is you need to pray in fervent spirit with love and affection. With fervent spirit, with love and affection. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, Romans 12, 11. Apostle Paul says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. There you go. Do not be slothful, but be fervent in the Lord. What do you mean by fervent? It means with a fire, with a zeal, you pray. fervent in spirit is to keep your heart close to God. You understand? When I say fervent in spirit is to keep your heart close to God, good example is, remember Jesus. When he rose from the dead, and the disciples, some of them did not know that he had risen from the dead, and he was going to the Emmaus road, and he met two disciples. And remember how the two disciples said at the end, when they were with Jesus, their hearts were burned. Remember that? That is staying close to God. That is fervent in spirit. When your heart is close to God, you are fervent in spirit. Now, if you live in the light of God's intimate fellowship, just like how they have, you will be fervent. But if you turn away from God, and if your heart is getting far away and away and away from God, then you will grow cold. There will be no fervent in spirit. There may be a religion, but it will be cold. It will be a cold relationship with God. What kind of relationship do you have with your wife? With your husband? Is it cold or is it fervent? If the Lord is the bridegroom, and we are the bride, the Bible says, what kind of relationship do you have? It should be a hot, fervent relationship. It should be an intimate relationship. So we need to pray, God, give us the fervent spirit. And if you don't have, and if you are getting, if you have a cold spirit, that means you're away from the Lord. Away from the Lord. You need to come closer to God. Now, we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit, in praying in fervency. In Hosea chapter 7, verse 14. In the book of Hosea 7, 14. Says here, they do not cry to me from the heart. They will wail upon their beds. For grain and wine they gash themselves. They rebel against me. And here we get a good example. They can cry to God when they're when they're in trouble. They can be crying to God. But it's not from the heart. Just like in the book of Hosea says. It's not from the heart. So fervent in spirit, praying fervent in the spirit is praying truly from the heart. If we are going to plead with God, we need to do it in fervency. Alright? A cold prayers have no fervency. There should be a fire in our prayers. There should be a fire in the prayers. There is no lukewarm prayer, just like there is no lukewarm fire. Is there a lukewarm fire? No. Either there is a fire or not. In the same way, either your prayer should be hot or not hot at all. Because you are praying the Spirit anyway. We are called to pray in the Spirit. It is essential, it is important that our prayer should be red hot. Real prayer is burned with a hot iron into a man's soul. And when we do that, we open our hearts to God. Fervent in spirit is to keep your heart close to God, very close to God. That is to be fervent in spirit. As I gave that example in the Emmaus Road, the two disciples, their hearts were burned when they were with Jesus. Remember, Jacob, when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, we believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. At the end, what did he say? I will not let you go except thou bless me. That is praying the Holy Spirit. That is fervent in prayer. That means, I will not let you go until you bless me. That is fervent in prayer. That means we should cry out. That means really pouring our hearts to the Lord, pouring our soul to the Lord. You know, not just the mouth, lip service, but really from the heart. Alright? We should cry out of the depths of our hearts to God. Or else, we are not going to see the glory in the highest. Remember the tax collector when he prayed in the New Testament. How did he pray? He prayed in fervency. Out of the depths of his heart, he cried to the Holy God, beating his chest. And look at the Psalms, in the book of Psalms, and the Old Testament saints, when they prayed. Do you see any lukewarm prayers in the book of Psalms? Do you see any lukewarm prayers when Daniel prayed, when Hezekiah prayed, when David prayed? Huh? Absolutely not. What about, so the prayers, there were no lukewarm prayers, but they prayed with much affection. Affection, fervency goes along with affection and love. Remember, you turn with me to James chapter 5 verse 17. James chapter 5 verse 17. And James talk about a man who prayed fervently in the Old Testament. That was Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. No different than you and me. He's just like us. And he prayed, how did he pray? Prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. That's fervent prayer. It's a persistent prayer. Fervent prayer is just like Jacob saying, I will not allow you to go until you bless me. And fervent prayer is done with affection and with love. Remember how Jesus said in the book of Luke, and I will tell you, ask, it will be given to you, knock, and it will be opened. That is fervent prayer. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. And look at the apostles in the New Testament when they prayed. Did they pray any with lukewarmness? Absolutely not. They prayed with fervency. And look at the reformers, the Puritans, and how they prayed. They prayed in fervency. Look, even our Lord, how he prayed. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, you see the author of Hebrews talks, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Hebrews 5 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, how? With loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from the dead. He was heard because of his reverence. So here we see the fervency, the heartness, the zeal, how he cried unto the Father with loud cries and tears. If Jesus, the Son of God, if he prayed like that, how much more we should pray? Huh? So, it's so important that we, if prayer is a very important part of our Christian life. And the other thing is, why we pray in fervency is because God is glorious. He's a majestic God. He's an all-powerful God. And he's a living God. Can you approach the all-powerful God with yawning? Can you approach the all-powerful, almighty God in sleepiness? In lukewarm prayer? How do you approach the King of Kings? and the Lord of Love. How do you approach the God who have created the universe and the earth and everything, and who holds everything, even your breath is held by God. Anytime He can get take your breath off and you'll be dead. How do you approach God? If you don't approach Him lukewarmness, you know, you're not, if a beggar comes here, maybe you may have a different way of talking to that person. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? What about God Almighty? So that's why we are commanded to pray, and we need to pray in fervent spirit. Why we pray in fervent spirit? Why? I'm going to give you one of the reasons, or probably a few reasons. The reason why we pray in fervent spirit is because we love the Lord from the bottom of our hearts. That's why we pray. If you don't love a person from the bottom of your heart, if you don't know anybody who is very close to you and dear to you, you don't have a fervent love with that person, do you? Because you don't know that person. Do you have a fervent love with a hot love, an intimate love with a person that you don't know? No, of course not. It's only people that are dear and close to your heart, you have a fervent love for that person. In the same way, remember Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord, your God, how? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And Moses said, and these words that I have commanded you today shall be in your where? In your mind, right? No. Wrong. He said in your heart. Okay. Now, so when you pray to a God who is love, if you say that you have a relationship with God, then you need to pray with affection, with love, with feelings, with emotions. Yes. Not with cold, no emotions, no feelings, just the words. No. That's not how you pray. How do you sometimes talk to your wife and your husband or your children? Huh? You talk emotionally. And you're emotional beings. If God is all loving, and you say, I love the Lord more than anything else, how do you talk to God then? With emotions, with feelings, if God has to be real in your heart, it's not just not talking to empty air or to a wall. No, God is real to us. So true prayer must be a loving prayer, as we are not praying to a strange God. We are not praying to statues or images. We are not praying to dead saints. But we are praying to our Father who is in heaven, who loved us before the foundation of the world. If God loved us before the foundation of the world, how much more we should love Him when He... We didn't know that He loved us before the foundation of the world until knowledge came through the Word of God and exposed that to us. Whoa! I didn't know that! Huh? Then, not only that, He gave His Son to die in our place for our sins. So prayer should be done in love and affection, in fervency. That's why we pray in fervency. You understand? Because of the love of God. So the prayer should be perfumed with love, saturated with love, love to our Heavenly Father, and love to our brethren, and love to our beloved God Jesus Christ. In closing, brothers and sisters, live, so in closing, if you didn't get anything else, live close to God. That's the main point here. If you live close to God, you are praying in the spirit. You can pray in the spirit. Living closely, when I say live close to God, it means to live in holiness. The more you come closer to God, the more God is going to cleanse the dirtiness, the sinfulness, in your heart, and you are getting more and more sanctified. The Bible says we are to grow in our sanctification. And Jesus said, this word will sanctify you. The word of God. That means when we read the word of God, we read it. This word becomes real to our heart. And the word will minister to our heart. And the word will act, change our behavior. So, we live not in worldliness, but in holiness. Live in the word. Remember, the word says to pray at all times. So when we pray in the spirit, we are praying, as I said from the very beginning, not one time just praying and another time, another occasion. Now I'm in the spirit, so I prayed in the spirit. Other time, I prayed to God, but that was just a regular prayer. So there are no regular prayers, and there are no spiritual prayers, and there are no good prayer or bad prayer. All prayer is prayer. And all prayer has to be prayed in the spirit. Okay? It all has to be done in the fervent in the spirit. And so praying in the spirit. We have our personal prayers that we pray in the closet, right? That is, a lot of times my wife doesn't want to show me that she's praying. A lot of times I'm the same way. Okay? Sometimes I get caught. She sees me praying. So we try to hide from one another, and we get into our personal closet or our hiding place, different places, and so we have our personal prayer that where we pour out our soul to God. Then we have our public prayers. We get together and pray, like after church. Then after that, in between, we have our in-between prayers. Always knowing that we are living in the very presence of God. So we know you need to have that conscience. One of my prayers every day is, Lord, when I go to work, my mind is focused on work, not on you. But cause me to remember that still I'm living in the presence of you. That's one of my prayers. So cause me to remember that I'm living in the presence of you. That means even when I talk to people, that I talk in the light of you, that I'm still an ambassador for Christ, that nothing bad will come up from my mouth, that I will not think bad things. Okay. So we need to understand we are living in the very presence of God. That means if you're living in the very presence of God, what do you do? And if you love somebody, dearly, fervently to love somebody, and you are living in the very presence of that person, what do? If you say that you love somebody, what do? You talk to that person, right? Do you see a young couple who say, I really love you, and I really love you, and they don't talk? You don't see that. If you truly love somebody, you talk. And sometimes you talk the most intimate thing. Right? You just pour out everything. So remember, a lot of times in young couples, when they get really hot in love at the beginning, they love each other, they tell everything. All the things, their past and everything, their mom, dad, and everything. They tell everything. If you really love God with all your heart, with all your soul, you need to tell all your sins to God. Everything. I learned that I had to, I need to be honest and sincere before God when I come to God. I have to show all my wicked sins to God. And don't be shy to talk to God to your wicked sin. Because Jesus, Jesus is called what? He is there to take up our burdens and our care. Don't be shy. And if God is a loving God, He's there to hear everything what you have to say. Don't be shy. Don't try to hide your sins. Tell everything just as it is. Tell it to God. Show all your sins. Show all your weaknesses. Show everything in detail. Pour out your, that is pouring out your soul to God. In detail. Alright? So, it's so important talking to Him and having a sweet communion with Him, that He becomes so close to your heart. We agree with God's will. We need to agree with God in His will. Remember, the Bible says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to me? Do two walk together unless they have agreed to me? Amos chapter 3 verse 3. So when you two walk together, they agree. If they love each other. So talk to God as you would talk to your best friend. Yeah. Talk to God as you would talk to your best friend, because He is our best friend. He is your best friend who saved you from eternal fire. He is your best friend as He gave you eternal life. He is your best friend because He wants to live with you for the rest of your life. That God wants to be with you. So He is your best friend. So talk to Him as you talk to a best friend. Because He is the best friend more than any other friend. He is our first love. He is the one who died for us. He is the one who cared for us. He is the one who gave us eternal life. He is the one who can raise us up. When we die, one day, all these mortal bodies, these fleshly bodies, sinful bodies, are going to be risen up one day, raised up with a new spiritual body. Only God can do that. If God can do all those things, how much we should love Him. The greatest thing what He did for us is that we are called the children of God. We have been adopted as His sons. The greatest thing is that one day we can live in the very presence of God in heaven, serving Him. What a joy that's going to be. So if you cannot do it here, you cannot do it up there. You cannot serve the Lord here, you cannot serve the Lord up there. So that's why, if you do it in love, if you have a zeal, all these things, we cannot do in our flesh. Absolutely not. That's why the most important thing is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who does that. Okay? And remember, Jesus said in the book of John that when the Holy Spirit comes in you, He will give you like rivers of living water. Rivers of living water will come out of your bellies. So Holy Spirit, help us. John chapter 4 verse 14. Our soul is like a well. The Holy Spirit is like a spring which feeds the well. Before we knew Christ, we were like wells, dried up wells. Totally dried up. But now we are true Christians. We are filled in the Holy Spirit. And like a spring of water coming out of the soul. Jesus said, John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, he will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Wow. Isn't that fervency or not? That is fervency. So, do you understand now? Remember I asked you the question, what is to pray in the Spirit? And everybody, a lot of people gave me blank faces. Do you understand now what is to pray in the Spirit? You do? Praise God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, how we thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, how you are the creator of the universe, how you have created us out of dust. You created us, Lord. That is amazing, how you created us out of dust. Not only that, that you gave us a soul, you gave us your spirit to love you, to honor you, to respect you, and to worship you, and to serve you. Oh Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that the words that we heard today, that it will not come from one ear and let it go from the other ear. But God, we pray that it will dwell richly in our hearts, that we will treasure these words in our hearts, that we will not forget. And also, Lord, that we would encourage other people that who doesn't know, that we can teach them what we have learned, so that they would be blessed, Lord, that we would be able to pass this blessing from one to another. And Lord, I pray for those people who are listening in the internet, and also those people who are praying in Cebu, Philippines, and other parts of the world, Lord. I pray for them too, Lord, that they would, that the word that they heard today would change their heart, change their prayer lives, Lord, and change their relationship to God by the power of the Spirit, Lord. And if you have been changed, and if you have been blessed, and we would like to hear from you. And we pray and ask that the Lord will bless you and keep you, and that you be, that your heart will become closer and closer to God, and that you have a fervent relationship.